Previously on Power Rangers. The in-space Rangers discovered a silver dude in a tube who turned out to be Zane, the sixth Ranger. Welcome, ladies, gents, and people of all genders. My
We
name...
heard that so many times watching these episodes.
Yeah, that's why I did it. Welcome to Voices from the Grid. That deep voice is our Black Ranger, Ben Taylor.
Yeah, I'm black this season. Back in black.
And I am the eternal Red Ranger, currently wearing purple in Ben's honor, Sasha Kaplan. Today we are reviewing three Zane-centric episodes of Power Rangers: Red with Envy, The Silver Secret, and A Date with Danger.
Yeah. And it what might come as a, I know it's probably going to come as a shock to Sasha, but for the first time in, I think since we've been recording Voices from the Grid, this is the first episode I'm going into where I'm fairly positive about all three episodes we're going to be reviewing.
Okay.
I'm not saying there aren't things to be picked at, but they're not horrible.
We've definitely had worse.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that note, we're going to start with Red with Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's defrosted, Zane quickly warms up to his new teammates. However, Andros is infatuated. Oh, sorry, infuriated.
I mean,
depending on the angle. He's infuriated when he suspects that Zane is trying to put the moves on Ashley. This leads Andros to order that Zane stay on the megaship while he and the others go down and battle the returning Darkonda, who is everybody's favorite pain in the rear end. And by that, I mean he's annoying as hell. And his latest monster, known as the Crocotoxus. That's a mouthful. But it turns out the Rangers really need Zane, who goes down to help his friends out while secretly discovering that he's having trouble remaining morphed. He asks Alpha 6 for help. So let's start with kind of our introduction to Zane, who was kind of brought back last episode, kind of appeared, saved the day. What are your initials? Like, what do you just think of him as a Ranger?
So it's really difficult not to bring in my thoughts from the season as a whole, because I've seen In Space before, right?
I mean, we all have, yeah.
Like, overall, I don't like Zane, but I don't dislike Zane.
It's fine.
He's the buttered toast of Power Rangers.
What does that mean?
Like, if you have, like... He's the buttered toast of Power Rangers because he can be improved by the application of, say, peanut butter or jelly or anything else. But he can also be worse by not being toasted or there being no butter or, like...
Okay, just, sure.
Like, and... Justin, having met Justin at Ranger Station this year, right? It's very clear that this was early in his acting journey.
Yeah.
Right? Because there are several times where he's not the best actor in the cast. And one might describe him as the worst actor in the cast. But there are also other times where he is good.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a very... And it's not that kind of... To flash forward for a very small period of time. In RPM. The Gold and Silver Rangers in RPM.
Yeah.
Can't remember their names.
Gem and Gemma.
They are superbly acted. But the acting is them acting as people who are annoying. Right?
Yeah.
This is just... Zane has no personality other than I'm Andros' friend. and I'm a little bit of a
flirt,
a boastful person, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, he's just a dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know I've. And one thing I do want to say, and I will be making this slip up this entire episode, is every time he calls for his weapon, the Super Silverizer, all I can think, all I ever hear is Silver Samurizer. So I'm going to be making that slip up this entire episode.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't know. Watching
what about you?
These...
What are your thoughts on Zane?
He's fine. Like, he's not exciting, but he's not bad. He's a little bit much at first, but I can't decide if that's because he is just a bit much or if just because we're seeing things from Andros's perspective.
He's also a lot of firsts, right? Like, he's the first new Sixth Ranger we've basically had since Tommy. Because, like, Bue Centurion wasn't a Ranger.
Right. Neither was the Phantom Ranger.
There was the Phantom Ranger.
Jason coming back in Zeo?
He's not new. He's Jason.
Right. So you're right. This is the first, like, new Ranger.
Yeah.
New Sixth Ranger. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's also... We are entering that period. This is also... In Space gets credited with a lot of firsts for the Power Rangers franchise, right? Even though it's not necessarily true. But one of the things this does do first is introduce this period of time after the Sixth Ranger is introduced that the rest of the team just become awful at their jobs and cannot do anything without the Sixth Ranger until they can again. And we are very firmly in that right now. And that is something that I've never appreciated when a Sixth Ranger shows up, is just the rest of the team just decide to be bad at their at being Rangers.
The only time I could see it making sense is if it's like kind of like where the Sixth Ranger has some kind of power up, or the Rangers are depowered somehow that warrants kind of that assist. You know, like in when Cam shows up as the Samurai Ranger in Ninja Storm, right? There was a legitimate reason why they needed to seek out the power to help the Rangers. And that way it's not the Rangers are incompetent. It's just like, no, the Rangers need extra help right now.
Yeah.
Whereas
in something like this, nothing's happened to the other Rangers. They're just trying to put the Sixth Ranger over, so they are making the rest of the Rangers just bad. And this isn't the first time it's happened this season either, because they did it when Justin came back for the episode.
Right, they did.
He was the only competent person in the episode. And that bothers me intensely.
Definitely.
Another thing, since we're on the topic of Zane, we're seeing his morphing sequence for the first time. And another first for the franchise, which will become somewhat of a plague in later years. We have our first cell phone morpher. Sash is pulling faces.
Wait, is it really a cell phone?
Yep.
Oh, it is.
He even dials Mega.
Yep.
That, if you look at the position of numbers on a cell phone, does not spell Mega.
That is something else. Okay. Well,
It's our first cell phone morpher.
Sure, I'll take it. Why not? It is the late 90s.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're not that far off from the actual cell phone morphers we will get in Wild Force. So
Yeah.
it's fine.
And then again in Mystic Force, and then again in Operation Overdrive, and then again in
Just you want to keep going? Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't.
So let's talk about a little bit about Andros's friendship with Zane. And because from what I remember from the previous episodes, they established that Zane and Andros were very close friends. They were best friends. And that Zane fell in battle, I think, saving Andros's life or something
Yes,
along
on
those lines
KO35.
on KO35. So Andros carries a little bit of guilt for that. And he kept Zane healing, morphed in a tube to preserve him,
No.
to heal him.
No.
To keep him as a memento of their time together.
They are very specific that Zane is in cryostasis.
Yeah, whatever.
You cannot heal in cryostasis.
Fine, he's
That's
on
not how
ice.
science works.
We'll get to that next episode.
Yes, we will. Because that's where my note for
Fine.
that actually is.
I know. As soon as I saw that, I just went, well, I know where that's not how science work is going. But Zane, so fine, Zane is in cryostasis, so he's being kept alive, but in
Yes.
a he's on ice. He's Captain America.
Yes, he's yeah.
So what, based on all of those things, what unfolds in this episode is complicated.
And absolutely justified.
Tell me more.
So they try to make up this big misunderstanding
Yeah.
that Zane is flirting with Ashley. And Ashley is flirting with Zane, and Andros gets jealous, right?
Right.
But they try to play it off at the end, like
Right.
there's been no flirting between them. And I'm going, have you watched the rest of the episode?
So I actually have a
Like
note
there's
on
a
that.
moment where she's holding his hand and like she's never done for anyone else
She
and
was making googly eyes at him. Like, because there's a note at the end that I have. It says, does Zane's explanation about his relationship with Ashley and the fact that she was.
I know what
For some reason, I
I
have it
know what
here
you've
at.
written, but
Hold
it's
on,
not
hold on. No,
friendly to the show.
it is. I just had to understand what the rest of my sentence said. I said, okay, does
Okay.
Zane's explanation about his relationship with Ashley and the fact that she was mining him for information, I read that as miming him and got very
Okay.
confused. Mining him for information about Andros track with what was established in the episode.
No, it doesn't. It
No, it
Like
doesn't.
there's the moment where he shows up to save them from
The
fight
monster.
or the fight on the beach,
Yeah.
which by the way I think might be the first time any monster's been blown up by just blaster fire. But like she's like, oh my God, thank God you're here, and she's holding his hand, and like it's
Yep.
absolutely justified
Like, even
that.
there, I have a note here that says Zane morphs and Ashley's. I have Zane demorphs and Ashley's really into him for some reason. And then the note follows with the other Rangers don't realize demorphed accidentally. I don't understand, like, Ashley in this episode at all. Because she didn't have to be quite this friendly, shall we say.
Now, if they'd have been doing a thing where we'd been seeing things from like Andros's point of view, and it would have been like an unreliable narrator kind of thing, fine. But we're seeing it third person. We know what is happening.
There's like at that moment, and there's Ben's lovely wife in the back waving at me. There's this moment where, right as Andros walks in towards where Ashley and Zane are, Zane has this like arm and he's like doing the telepathy
He's
thing,
trying to
trying to.
train her to do telepathy, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I just looked kind of
Telekinesis,
tilted.
sorry.
Whatever. I just kind of tilted my head, going, excuse me, what?
Yeah, it's that shorthand in, like, if you were to see it in, like, a movie where someone's training someone to shoot at a like a shooting range, and they've got their arm around them and they're like trying to help them aim, and it's just like,
Yep.
But yeah,
I also
they
have an
absolutely, definitely 100% had, like, yeah. Yeah, it
It was
doesn't.
just weird. I also do appreciate the fact that the KO-35 powers have returned because they don't really appear often.
Yeah, the telekinesis stuff. Yeah. Also, sorry
No, go for it.
Kind of arc back to this, but there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that happens in this that kind of never happened. Zane gets like a premonition of Rangers hanging in a net that I don't think ever happens again.
Nope. We're just going to say after effects of being in a cryostasis. I almost said coma again.
I mean, and then there's a scene with Andros and Zane in a cargo bay, right after Andros has tried to ask Ashley out, and Zane is basically sort of, there's a phrase I want to use that's not PG-13, basically obstructed the effort to ask him out, to ask her out.
Yes, correct.
And there's a scene where,
and I know exactly the word you were going to use.
Yeah. And
he got in the way, shall we say?
Yes, he
blocked
something.
Him. Yes.
and then there's the scene in the cargo bay, which goes from really poorly acted by both of them to really well acted by both of them to really poorly acted by both of them to really well acted by both of them in the scene of a, in the span of about a minute.
Yep. I mean, it's interesting because like Andros is very visibly like upset about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Zane does offer, so after they argue, Zane offers his like half-baked explanation about how his intentions with Ashley are like only friendly.
Yeah.
And we're just supposed to go like, yeah, they're totally friendly. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. Didn't buy it for a second.
I have a quick question about the Princess of Evil. It's a very important question.
Yeah.
What is your least favorite of Astronema's wigs, and why is it in these episodes?
It's the red one she wears towards the end of the the end of the season.
Really?
The bowl cut.
I liked that one, but okay. My least favorite one is the ones she wears this in these episodes. Actually,
and the one she's got that's once she's been turned into like techno astronomer.
Borg Astronomer.
Like, Borg Astronomer, and she's got like the red bowl cut. That's my least favorite wig.
Fair enough.
But speaking of evil people, can we talk about Darkonda for a second?
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's talk about Darkonda.
So Darkonda's just back.
Yep.
Like, we see him blow up and die in an earlier episode, right?
Yep.
And then he's just back. There's
Correct.
No, like we find out way later in the season that he's like, oh, I've got like 9 lives and I'm basically a kitty cat.
An ugly ass one.
With that's made out of teeth. But here he's just back. There's no explanation. He's just there. And they have this moment where right at the beginning of the episode, he's standing in this field going, where is my opponent? Does he not have the guts to face me? And then the clip just shows up and he goes, hey, buddy, you want to work together? And it's like, What the morphing hell are you talking about?
So Darkonda and Ecliptor throughout the course of the season have this like weird, like there's moments where Darkonda wants to be Ecliptor, and then there's moments where Darkonda wants to be Dark Spectre.
Yeah, but like,
and I
you don't start out going, oh, my opponent does not have the guts to face me. And then the moment you see the person that you think is, you go, hey, buddy, you want to work together? You should go, hey, I wonder when Ecliptor is going to show up so I can make him this offer. And then if he turns me down, I'm going to kill him.
Asking a lot here.
Like, it makes no morphing sense whatsoever.
Nice use of the word morphing right there.
It's just... And then there's like... And then eventually they cut away to this big bad base that Darkonda suddenly got, where he's breeding these crocotoxes.
Oh, yeah.
Crocotoxi.
Whatever.
Crocotoxox. I don't know.
Whatever it is.
And how do the crocotox get to Earth? Sasha?
There's a very simple explanation.
How do they get to Earth, Sasha?
There's a very simple explanation.
How do they get to Earth, Sasha?
I actually don't remember.
They swim through space.
Well, you know, some fly.
You know what's coming? You know what's coming? That's not how science works. There's no atmosphere in space. You can't get resistance to swim.
Okay, you're asking a lot here. You're asking
Look,
for the laws of physics to work here.
This is my gimmick, okay?
I got nothing. Like, let him swim. Why not? You can breathe on the moon. Why can't you swim in space?
Yeah, true. Fine. There's a great moment where Zane and I think it's Ecliptor are facing off on the beach. And Zane pulls out his morpher and he does his first morph. And they go from a sandy beach to the top of a grassy cliff.
Oh, I did not clock that. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I quite liked. I have like two, three more things that are very minor, but
I don't know. I appreciate the idea of an episode that adds some conflict between Zane and Andros.
Yeah.
But I really,
It could have been done better.
Oh God, I'm allergic to love triangles. Like I see a love triangle, I run for the hills. Like
I was kind of, I'm okay with it because it's not something we've seen in Power Rangers before, right? It's not like we didn't see anyone pining for Kim. Well, I guess we saw Catherine pining for Tommy when he was with Kim. But, like...
No, I know that it's definitely something we haven't necessarily seen a lot of in Power Rangers, and I'm definitely glad it doesn't really go
anywhere
beyond this episode, which only makes its inclusion slightly more bizarre. But in general, I find love triangles to be tedious and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been interesting to actually maybe see Andros kind of like struggling with his own guilt and maybe wanting to be, maybe being a little bit overprotective of Andros. Well, although I guess we get to see that next episode, but.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But you had a couple more notes in there.
Yeah, the first thing is I really like the fact that Zane was keeping his powers failing a secret from the others. I just wish it had gone on a bit longer because it gets resolved in like the very next episode, right?
Yeah, I
agree actually
with
quite
that.
Liked that. And it could have been a bit of a source of conflict between the team.
Because him not trusting the team, when like not quite vibing with them yet, whereas like here, what we get is basically like, here's Zane, he's part of the team now. Cool.
Yeah. I have two things I want to say about the previously on from this episode. The first one being, During the previously on, it says something about the Mega Voyager being so advanced as a different Zord for each Ranger. Isn't that how all Zords work?
Well, not in this case, though, because our season doesn't start with everybody getting their own Zord.
I guess because the Astro Megazord is different.
Because
It's
you
only
have the
two
little
parts.
shuttle. Yeah, so it's definitely not new for Power Rangers, but it's new to this specific lineup of Rangers.
Okay, that's fair. And the other thing is, I wanted to mention that when after I watched the previously on, before I watched Red with Envy, I had to stop what I was doing and go back and watch the body swap episode because I like me a good body swap episode.
I mean, Ashley's actress did a great job with playing Astronema. That
Astronomer,
was a lot of fun. Yeah, I do like that.
And the last thing I wanted to mention, as I've been trying to do all season, we mentioned it in the very first episode, trying to talk a little bit about the Sentai, and where it comes from. The basic plot and story of this comes from episode 25 of Mega Ranger called Just in Time. Time limit 2.5 minutes, which is strange because you don't find out about the 2.5 minutes thing to the next
I was
episode of
gonna
Power
say, yeah.
Rangers, but you find out somewhat about that in this episode of the Sentai, because from everything I've been able to read, the Silver Rangers, Mega Rangers powers are so advanced they can only last for 2.5 minutes. They know that going in.
Oh,
And
interesting.
then that gets resolved in a later episode.
Does it involve lightning?
I don't know.
Damn.
We'll get to the
The,
lightning.
I'm asking the important questions here, Ben, and you don't have the answers?
You want to go watch the Sentai?
No, I
Well,
know,
then
but I wasn't the
you're
one that
just
brought
going
it
to
up in
have
the
to
first
deal with it.
place.
And there's also fight footage from episode 27, Kick Them About the Demonic Coral of Death, which is where you see Eclipta falling in the water. And episode 30, Full Throttle, The Friendship Combination, which is the fight between Zane and Darkonda.
All
Yeah.
right, then. On that note, let's get, since we're already talking about it, let's get to the Silver
Bum,
Secret.
bum, bum.
A diagnostic scan from Alpha 6 reveals that Zane only has a limited time to stay morphed, while the other Rangers jump to the wrong conclusions and assume that Zane is dying. Zane decides to play up this misunderstanding and exploit their sympathy. However, Astronema knows his true secret and sends down the praying mantis to exploit this weakness. I almost said playing mantis.
Playing Mantis.
Yeah, so that's kind of the gist of the episode. Okay, bye. No, I'm kidding.
It is.
So let me ask you this, because you brought this up like 2 seconds ago, because you said you like the fact that Zane doesn't immediately tell the Rangers. So here is my question. Does Zane have a responsibility to tell the Rangers right away? Why not?
I think what he does is correct. Because he like instantly is like, I need to get all the information I can, right? He
Okay.
doesn't intentionally keep the fact that he can't stay morphed for very long from them for a long time, right?
Doesn't
He
really get the chance to even kind of
like
think
he
about
keeps
it.
it from them like when they're doing the whole giving him pie thing, right? But the moment it actually becomes a thing, he's like, hey guys, there's something I need to tell you. And then they leave without him. Right?
Right.
I think so. It's six on half a dozen of the other, really. I think him trying to find out information is fine. Because the moment it becomes an issue, he does bring it up. Right?
Or try to anyway. Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what's causing it, and had he said something, well, the the first thing they would have been is like, well, we need to figure out what's causing it, right? So, right. Blah.
But he does do the right thing, doesn't kind of ignore the problem. He just like, hey, Alpha, let's figure this out. Like, what can I do? What's the scans? And then Cassie and Andros are
overhear
kind of
a thing.
Right. And instead of just like asking him about it, they get all weird.
Weirded really strangely. Like by Alpha 37 in a row. Where he's like, where Alpha's like, you don't have very long.
Yeah. And instead of sticking around to hear the rest of that statement, the Rangers just leave.
But there is also a long enough pause between you don't have very long and that you can stay morphed for Cassie and Andros to have an entire conversation outside the sick bay.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Which is really weird.
Yep.
The episode does start out with astronomer timing how long Zane can stay morphed.
Yes.
And there's a big weird seven that appears on the screen in the middle of that, which I don't know why. But I am impressed that she has both a multi-camera setup and an editor.
We're very proud of her. She's very talented, Princess of Evil. Until
she
she's
is.
not.
Yeah. And then I have to say this, since it's you and I on this episode. As I was watching the credits for The Silver Secret, my thoughts wandered to the true heroes of the Zordon era. Our beloved Vulcan Skull. And I realized that despite what we know is coming for them at the end of the season, it's very, very impressive how little of the season they're actually in, and they're still in the main credits.
Because they are awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny now that you mention it. Like, I was so, you know, like, watching these episodes, I forgot completely about Bulk and Skull.
They're
but
doing
then
the
again,
whole,
like,
they're doing the whole Professor Phenomenus thing, right?
Yeah.
And utterly regressing their characters back to, like, season one and season two of Mighty Morphin.
Maybe to the untrained eye.
No, they definitely are, and I know that's the phenomenous thing. Yeah. But and then what happens in Countdown to Destruction is such a U-turn from that. It's like, oh, where were you the rest of the season?
Which, to some extent, one could, and others have argued that because Bulk and Skull's journey has occurred over the course of the last
Six.
Yeah, years or so, that like they didn't need too much more, but it still would have been nice to have a little bit of a build up to really let that moment's epicness like
Well,
hit
I'm sure
harder.
we'll talk about this during Countdown Destruction,
Yes.
I'm sure. But I just say that because while I was watching the credits for Silver Secret, it absolutely hit me about how little of the season they're actually in.
So there's a really snarky line that I think Astronema says, or someone says, or somebody starts saying that, like, oh, the Silver Ranger is the most powerful ranger in the universe. And I said, really? Really?
Print
And then
hell.
Astronema says something like, but only for 2.5 minutes. It's like, that's a sick burn.
Gives the next episode some context, doesn't it?
Delayed reaction. We got there eventually.
So there's a moment where they're fighting this monster. Zane's been told to stay on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm. To
because
rest
they think
or whatever.
Because they think he's actually dying.
Yes.
And they're fighting this praying mantis monster. And they're, because we are firmly in that era of the original five rangers are now bad at their jobs. They are firmly getting their tuchuses kicked.
Points for the word tuchus.
I like the word tuchus. And Zane's like, well, I've got to go help them. If you only have 2.5 minutes morphed, Why do you land and morph so far away from the fight that you have to drive there on a motorbike?
Because kids need new toys to buy.
But he can use the motorbike in the rest of the season. We know it's getting resolved this episode.
Because that was the Sentai footage they had and they ran with it. Don't question it.
I will question it all I like. So they've made this big thing about how Zane shouldn't demorph in public, right?
Yeah, that was in the previous episode.
And it's in this one as well.
Yep.
Question is, why?
Yeah, it's not like if this was like Angel Grove, and I guess for the perspective of the non-Andros and Zane Rangers,
yeah.
It makes sense because it's Angel Grove, yada yada, their friends could see them, but nobody knows who the heck Zane is.
Right, but it doesn't matter if Zane demorphs. If the others are morphed, they won't know that it's them.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, not demorphing in public, which
it wasn't
like,
even that public.
Sounds like slang for something. He's wearing an in-space uniform.
Yes.
And does for most of the season except next episode.
Yes.
So he's going to be clocked as a ranger anyway.
Correct.
Or is it that they're worried that the baddies will see Zane and go, that's what he looks like. Anyone he hangs out with could be the Power Rangers. Let's hunt down their loved ones. It doesn't matter,
because
the baddies already know who they are.
Right. I was going to say, Estrada literally turned into Ashley. She knows exactly who the Rangers are. It's not a secret.
The whole...
And she's also about to get very close and personal with all of them. Welcome to Power Rangers.
Yeah. And again, I don't hate this episode. I'm actually quite positive about this series of episodes. It's just there's certain things in it that just make me want to hit my head with a board with a nail in it.
Yeah. So after the praying mantis retreats, they all go back to the megaship for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Zane hears Andros and Cassie telling them that, like, you know, Zane is sick. And so they overcompensate. And have an art that there's this like kind of it's silly, but it's actually kind of funny moment where Cassie and Ashley are arguing over whether or not Zane should have the pie, but he wants it, but it's not healthy, but he wants it. Like, does it matter? He's dying. It doesn't matter if it's not healthy if you're dying.
Also, it's apple pie.
Exactly.
Give the man apple pie.
Give the man as much apple pie as he dang well pleases.
This is kind of the only point where he kind of keeps the more thing from them. But again, it's like a 45-second scene, tops.
Yeah, roughly.
And then instantly, the moment they're called away, he's like, hey, guys, there's something I need to tell you. Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where... So Alpha, meanwhile, finds, like, a solution of why Zane keeps demorphing. And I guess while he was in... What was it called? Cryostasis? Okay. The fluid in his morpher was leaking or something. Look, his transmission is just like it's shot. The battery needs to be replaced. Like, the Nokia cell phone needs a new battery.
Yeah, they basically say that because he was morphed for so long, his morpher is...
Needs a booster shot.
Needs a booster shot, yeah. And Zane decides... And Alpha says it will take a tremendous amount of electricity.
Yes.
So with this, we now know that the energy harnessed by the morphing grid is electricity.
Yeah.
So Morphex in Beast Morphers is liquid electricity.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Spoiler alert. It's not electricity. It's just that they had to find a way to write this out in a 3-second scene. And Zane decides that this would be the moment. All right. We cut back to Astronomer, who basically attaches a bomb to the monster.
Yes. That will detonate like, in 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes once the rain, the Silver Ranger morphs, basically.
Right.
And the original five Rangers are off getting their tuckuses kicked again. And Zane decides he can't watch anymore, that he needs to get some power. And he decides to do so by standing in a lightning storm.
Yeah, as one does.
Yeah. Now, there is a common misconception that lightning will hit the highest thing that it can in a lightning storm.
Tell me, Dr. Ben, tell me more.
This is only partially true. There are many things that contribute to what it hits. Height is but one of them. And somehow, Zane manages to arrive, climb an entire rock face, hold his cell phone in the air, get struck by multiple bolts of lightning, and not get set on fire.
Because he's from KO35. He's an
That's
alien.
Not how science works. I've gotten to do three of those this episode.
Yeah, so the morpher.
All it would have taken is a small scene where he grabs like a gadget or a doodad from the megaship's like cargo bay as he's walking by, and Alpha says something about having grabbed like an electronic doob daba doob doo, and it would have perfectly explained why he got hit, right?
Okay, but like the 10-year-olds that are watching this don't care.
Right. Are you 10?
No, but I don't care.
Am I 10?
Maybe multiplied by a few other numbers, but yeah.
So to continue with our adults taking a kid show far too seriously thing, I don't care what the 10-year-olds think.
Yeah, well, Bill Nye the Science Guy was not consulted for Power Rangers, so.
True.
In case it wasn't painfully obvious.
So Zane shows up to the fight with the with the Mantis monster.
Yes.
And as he shows up, Astronomer finally decides to send the Quantrons.
Well, she needed him to show up.
Right. But if she'd sent the Quantrons earlier, she could have just killed the original five Rangers.
Astronoma gets one of her faults is that she gets kind of stuck on the minute details and fails to see the bigger picture. This is one of those examples.
Question for you.
Oh, God.
This is something else that popped up. I noticed that there were Quantrons that had like gray under armor and Quantrons that had like black under armor. Is there a difference between the two?
I'm trying to pull up a picture right now so I can tell the difference. So I can see. Okay. So it looks like based on positioning in the few photos that the silver Quantrons are maybe like higher in rank because they're always sort of in the center than the black Quantrons. But I don't know if that's consistent. I'm just basing this purely off the pictures. It could just be a case of rank, but I don't think they differentiate too much in the actual like show over the course. Because it looks like in several photos, so like in the United Alliance of Evil set, when the Quantro shows up, show up for the first time, you have the silver one in the center. There's another silver guy behind him, and then there's like, no, you know what? I don't know. I made that up in my head. I tried to find. I think it's just
Well,
some
I'm
have.
looking on the Ranger Wiki. It doesn't seem that there's a difference.
I don't think there is.
It's just a cool design thing.
It could have been also just as a way to show that they have like multiples of them and that they're not all this, completely the same. But yeah, I got nothing. That's a really interesting detail, though.
Okay, so
Yes. Where were we?
the mantis creature
Yes.
wraps Zane in his like scythe thingy that has
Yes.
the bomb attached to it and elevates him in the air. And the bomb is counting down,
Yes.
and neither astronomer or the monster or the rangers know at this point that Zane is basically safe.
Right.
Astronomer and the monster don't know he's recharged his powers, and the Rangers
Have no idea what's going on,
don't know
period.
he's not dying,
Yeah.
right? I quite liked this sequence. The
With
fact
like
that
the
they
bomb explosion
The
and
way that
like,
they dragged it out and the Rangers running towards him going, Zane, no.
yeah.
And everyone else being like, ha ha ha, now he's going to die. And then there being this big reveal of him being like, basically like brushing his shoulders off, being like, yo, what up?
Was it also in this episode? I think it was in here where the Mantis is something like, oh, one ranger down, five to go. Yeah. That was a nice line.
But I really liked that they drew this out because it's a really, it's a word I'm looking for. I don't know what the technical term for it is, but it's like creating tension for the characters in the episode because they don't have information that we as the audience have. Right.
Right.
And I really liked that they did that. I thought that was really well delivered on.
But also we don't really know what the like the so for the from the audience perspective, yeah, we know that Zane like his powers are fine, but it's still an explosion. Like under normal circumstances, that doesn't like you're still kind of screwed. So there is also some tensions for the audience because we don't know if it worked. And if it like fully restored his powers or not. Because I don't think they really, it's like he the lightning hits him and there's like, ah, and then it just, I think the scene changes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So there was no guarantee for the audience that the lightning actually did restore his power. So there's that moment where you're supposed to be like, oh God, did it work? Did it fail? And then of course the reveal is that of course it worked. So it's a great tension building moment, I think, all around. So Zane then reveals that he's alive and well, and he shows up on his little, what was it, a motorcycle,
Yeah,
hoverboard.
he's got it's called the Silver Cycle, which is like a motorcycle that can transform into one of the space sleds that they've got.
Yep. So then we go the whole month the they defeat the monster grows, then they defeat the monster. Happy ending all around, and it's basically it, isn't it?
Pretty much, I like my last non-Sentai note on this episode is it will never not stick out to me how how short Mega Ranger Pink is compared to Patricia Lee, who plays Cassie. Like, if you see Mega Pink stood next to the rest of the Mega Rangers morphed, she's very tiny. Whereas, like, Patricia Lee is like Ashley's height.
Oh gosh, you're right. Because, like, if you look at like the Silver Ranger, she, the top of her helmet like hits his shoulder.
Yeah. He's teeny tiny.
But it's interesting because I guess in that way you can actually tell the difference between Sentai footage and Rangers morphed footage. Yeah.
You can also tell by their outfits.
Yeah.
Because the Sentai outfits are more shiny.
Oh yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, it's been
We're getting so many visual cues. I hope the listeners are following along with their Google.
Yeah, I'm sorry, listeners, but we're falling down a rabbit hole here.
It's fine. They can Google it.
And if you listen to the episode that I recorded with Orion, where we talk about what's it called? What's the name of the episode? Push Comes to Shove. We talk about how the casting of Mega Pink affects Cassie in that episode, where like they have to make her basically look like a child. Like, she's got big pigtails and she's wearing dungarees and everything, because you catch a split second of Mega Pink in one of the pieces of footage they use. So they had to make Cassie dress the same.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right. So, and here, again, I'm clocking how different they are in size. It's really interesting.
That's a really nifty detail.
Yeah. Anyway, the big thing for the Sentai with this, the whole thing basically comes from episode 35, Overcome Mega Silver's Greatest Crisis, where they solve Mega Silver's morphing problem. It's a much longer problem for Mega Silver in Mega Ranger, because it's like 10 episodes in Mega Ranger, as opposed to the very next episode here in Power Rangers. So, yeah. Should we move on to a date?
Well, we have one more thing about this episode, which is, okay, how did the Rangers find out about everything that happened?
I'm sure he told them.
So, funny enough, I was trying to figure that out, because the last scene in this episode is actually the Rangers confronting yeah, Zane with the truth, and they make him drink like some weird green icky juice thing. And then they make him like clean up their little like whatever area. So I rewound it several times and I couldn't
Alpha
find
told
it.
Them.
Yeah, so in the wiki says that Alpha tells the Rangers that the truth about Zane, much to their annoyance.
Yeah, I'll be 100% honest with you.
I miss that.
I will be 100% honest with you. I logged out of this episode during the Zord fight. Like, once they hit the end of the Zord fight, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Fair enough.
So I didn't even see the scene you're talking about.
I didn't either. Like, I rewound that episode like 5 times trying to catch it, and then I finally gave up.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the final episode in our Zane trilogy here. It's called A Date with Danger.
Yeah. Now I want to say something before we get into this. Going into this episode, hearing the synopsis, you will be forgiven for thinking that this is this season's attempt at like a big comedy episode. Right? Because the concept of a ranger dating the big bad has a comedy situation written all over.
Yes.
However, they play this as straight as Power Rangers ever plays anything. Really. It's absolutely not played for laughs. And I will give it absolutely huge credit for that.
So it's interesting because this episode is actually doing some interesting kind of foreshadowy shenanigans that we can talk about a little bit once we get there. But let's read the synopsis for this ridiculous episode.
Yeah.
When Astronema is attacked by one of her own monsters, Zane comes to her rescue, and the two find that they are strongly attracted to each other, even arranging a date. But Ecliptor's latest monster, known as the Horror Bull, get it? Prove to be a distraction.
I love that pun, and I will not apologize for it.
Keeping the Rangers busy and delaying Zane's arrival at the site of his and Astronema's date. And let me tell you, the Princess of Evil is very strict about punctuality.
Yeah.
So what I really liked about this episode is kind of, you're right that it should be a comedy, but I do like that it's played very, I mean, it's kind of awkward in times anyway, where they're just like, like very cliche staring out the window in a.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, I think there's also, you can play something seriously, which is what they are, not treating it as a joke, but also do something. What's the word I'm looking for? Cliche.
Yeah.
And that's very much what they're going for here. Right?
I mean, the cliches are so old, they're all over the place.
I was eating it up, I'm not gonna lie to you.
I could, funny thing, like watching it, you kind of can't help but laugh at just how silly it all is. Yeah. They really could have made it even more comedic, but
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah. And I wonder if that was done with a certain level of intention. Because by this point, we've established several things about Astronema, right? We know she's very strong, whatever. She's the Princess of Evil, and she has a very close-knit relationship with Ecliptor.
Oh, we're going to get to that. I've got some stuff about that.
Okay.
The Ecliptor area.
So then what's interesting is the way that this whole beginning sequence unfolds, right? The Rangers are fighting a monster who... No, sorry, that's a later monster, but they're fighting a monster, and Astronema brings in another monster. So the Rangers are
distracting. They're fighting
them.
The first version of the Horrible. And the thing about the Horrible is he's got these horns that look like a clip door, with the black and the green. And in the middle of his head is this big freaking crystal. Right? Which is shown to be recording information on the weapons being used against him. Which then later plays into why Zane is late for the date.
What's also interesting is that the Horror Bull, his design, the horns and like the top of his helmet, and I think yeah. looks the same like as Ecliptor.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. So then Astronema, the Rangers are distracted fighting the Horror Bull, and Astronema brings in another monster to just fight with Zane. What's interesting is that the monster is being kind of useless, and Astronema gets kind of pissy, and she blasts or attempts to blast Zane, but actually blasts the monster. And the monster's like, excuse me, what? Like, I'm on your side. I'm not here to take this. And Zane actually really like kind of mocks her about it. Like, he makes fun of her for it.
A little bit, yeah. He's like, well, it turns on her and beats up some Quantrons. And he's like, ah, now you know how it feels.
Exactly. Yes. But then the monster attacks or tries to attack Astronema, and Zane actually saves her.
Yeah,
What is weird? Continue.
he rescues her by scooping her up on his silver cycle sled surfboard thing
Yes.
and takes her camping.
Yeah, that was weird. Like,
You
why
have
do
a
they have to go so far?
flying spaceship.
Right, but where was he supposed to take her? On their super secret spaceship?
Literally, it's not super secret. She knows where it is.
Right, but he's not going to take her to their spaceship. It's their spaceship. It's like their safe space.
Yeah. Then take her to, I don't know, another planet or a hospital or somewhere where there is a medical professional because the woman is clearly hurt.
Look, we've established that Zane is not the brightest bulb.
Is Zane the new Rocky? Quick, put Zane in a round room and see if he finds the door.
On the spaceship, the door's automatically open.
And if he still can't find it,
Gonna need a minute.
so anyway, Rocky 2.0 takes Astronomer camping. And by that, I mean we cut from the fight against Horrible, who gets beaten by the Spiral Saber and Quad Blaster combo,
Yes.
to a forested area where Zane has laid Astronomer out with a very badly camouflaged pillow.
Yeah.
And he has set her weapon just
Against the
against a tree,
Yeah, he didn't
like right
confiscate
next to
it,
her.
right?
And he's walked about 10 feet away to start a campfire where he's cooking.
Question about this entire sequence. Was that equipment already there, or did Zane bring it?
Is it just like stored in his space sled?
Is there
Is
room
that
in the
why?
space sled?
Also, he's been awake for about 3 days. How has he discovered roasted marshmallows already?
The humans are, giving him the full Earth experience. I don't know.
Also, he feeds Astronomer this soup thing in a mug.
Yes, I was very confused by
And
that,
they
but
pull
he
his
didn't.
face, and then he doesn't like it. And then he tries it, and he's like, and it's like, it definitely needs more salt. That reaction is what you would get from too much salt. No, needing more salt would just be bland. You'd just be like, yeah.
Maybe his taste buds didn't fully awaken with the rest of
Maybe
him.
that's where the injury was. Because we've completely forgotten that he was mortally wounded.
Well, clearly his morpher was the one that took the brunt of that wound.
Like, Jesus
And
Christ.
apparently his taste buds.
We've completely forgotten that the man was mortally wounded, and that's why he was put into cryostasis to
Yeah, okay, so
begin
he was in
with.
a frozen coma. It's fine. Look, the rest of them hasn't completely thought out yet. It's fine. Give him a
Yeah,
day.
like his brain. So she wakes up, pretends to not be woken up, and then he tries to feed her soup.
Yes. Where did he get the, you know what? We're just moving on. We're just moving on. I don't need to know any more about the soup where he got
You
the
are in a
ingredients.
forest alone
Yes.
with your biggest enemy
Yes.
unconscious. And you decide to
To make
make
her
soup.
soup. How about, hey, Andros, I have
Yo.
Astronema passed out on the in my little camp here. I think you should pick her up and interrogate her about where Zordon is.
Beep, beep, beep. Fucking swat.
This is why this is the best duo to listen to the podcast.